without any big rush. So the goal is to try to get there by Shkia, and then to spend, you know, an hour and a half, but not an hour and a half in solitude. Don't get nervous. I'll explain to you a little bit the Avoda. I'll explain the Avoda a little bit. Great to have you. Ezra Nehemia, Tanzala, great to have you, everyone. Okay, so first of all, an anonymous, very chashuv a Talmud, anonymously wanted to sponsor Mishmuz Le'ilui Nishmas, should be the Neshama Shevan Leah of Jonathan Cohen. Jonathan was, I was Zocha, was my Shir. We went Siyata Dishmaya a week before he was Nifter. It was the last day of his mom. The guys came to my house, and I don't like stop hosting and like hanging out with the guys. Not my kind of chill. I always thought, let's do something productive. So I thought, what's productive to do? So my shiur, we had a big schluss. Before we went to Poland, we FaceTimed with Jonathan Cohen. He gave us a shiur, a lot of chizuk. The guys never met him. So I told Jonathan on that FaceTime, I said, you know, when we get back from Poland, we're going to come to your house. He said, for sure, he would love that. And he kind of hinted, I forgot it was in public or in private afterwards, kind of hinted that he doesn't know how much longer he has. So for sure it made me nervous. And then when we got back, I thought the best way to end the year would be to go with the Chevra to his house. We went there, it was amazing. Benny had a solo, his mom was beautiful. He sang beautiful Nagunim there. When I paid a Shiva call, I was talking to his wife and to his daughter. And I said to his daughter, I just wanted to introduce myself. I said, I was here a few days ago. You know, we were the group that came in at night singing. She goes, yeah, I ran down from my room and it was so beautiful. I wanted to, you know, see what was going on. I thought it was so nice, and it's nice to hear that we got to spend a few minutes. So Jonathan Cohen, he was a Rebbe the first summer in Kobe. He was part of this matzav. The first summer when we started in Nashua, Jonathan was the head counselor of Boys Campus, like Rav John Shapiro over here. And he was very busy, obviously, but I begged him, my mom just begged him, because I'm a big admirer of his. I begged him, you got to be involved somehow, you know, Friday morning, give a shiur, this, that. He was too busy. Finally agreed, Shabbos afternoon, he would give a shiur. Those were amazing shiurs. First summer, Nashua, Shabbos afternoon, every Shabbos right before Mincha, give a shiur. And then if you hear previous years, you know, Rav Hartstein took over after that. Parson took over Friday morning, Shabbos day, Sunday morning, Sunday night. He almost took over the whole weekends with Rav Hartstein. Try to bring him back for the summer. But it should be Le'ilui Nishmas, this was Jonathan. And okay, so there was great pushback on a few things I said, and I want to incorporate it into what I discussed tonight. So two specific pushbacks I received on things that we said in the last few days. Number one, the other night, a few nights ago, we spoke about this, you know, bandwidth, how many people you could have under your wing. And for some reason, my mouth talks. It wasn't necessarily what I planned to say. And I said something I didn't plan to say, and it was an accident. And I want to pull back a little bit. I started to discuss that a person has bandwidth, and then you have to take people under your wing and extend yourself to others. And I went into that. I forgot how I got into that. Just did a tangent, but it wasn't when I was thinking about what I want to say, it wasn't on my mind. What I really intended to say, and the guys who pushed back afterwards, we had this conversation. What I was really intending to say, I think it was Nathaniel. Nathaniel's here. I think it was Nathaniel that he pushed back on me, and he said to me that, you know, we're still young. And it's nice to think that you could solve all the world's problems, you could save the world, but we're still young and we still need time to develop and to grow. And so you say, reach out to everybody, and people could take it the wrong way and overextend themselves, especially when you're too young and too early in life. When you overextend yourselves, you miss that window of opportunity to really develop yourself, and you become too focused on developing everybody else. And then later in life, you realize that everybody else passes you by because you never put the proper time into developing yourself. So I told Nathaniel, he's 100% right. And my mouth got the better of me. And on some tangent, I just kept going down that route. But in the truth, in the MS, my intention was, and I want to clarify for the sake of this talk, that Avadeh, 100%, the nakuda for sure in your, at your age, and I'm not saying, you know, what you've heard this term to be selfish. It doesn't mean to be selfish, chas v'shalom. The most selfless, always selfless. You know, I don't want Chaim to get nervous that we're talking selfish Torah. The most selfless thing you can do at your age in life is to expand your own personal bandwidth. And what that means on a personal level, in a very selfless way, is to develop yourself in every regard. Ad kidei, I always advise people professionally. If you're not sure what to do professionally, so major in accounting, double major in finance, have a minor in bio, why not? It'll be hard. Hard is not a reason not to do something. That's not a factor in making decisions. Hard. It'll be too hard. That's not a factor. That's never a factor. When you're young, open every door for yourself. You never know in 10 years if you're going to want to be in finance or accounting or biotech or program, whatever, who knows? So open every door. And I say that in career, and I say that for sure, Kol Shekein in Ruchnius. In Ruchnius, open up every door. You don't like Gemara today? You might want to do a lot of it tomorrow when you're 30. But if you haven't opened the door when you're young, you've almost eliminated, certainly hindered, from yourself the future opportunity to really be able to bring that and incorporate that into your life. And vice versa, dabble in everything. Some things will appeal to you more or less. Open every door. That's be'ikaron, that's your bandwidth. You allow for yourself space of development. So I wanted to just correct, I didn't mean to reach out and everything has to be about getting involved in other people's lives and impacting other people. That's easy. That's a davar de mamela. When you become broad enough, so avada, naturally, you're going to flow, you're going to spill over into other people's lives. Natural. The difficult part, or the more challenging part, the more focused part, is to do it within, to do it internally. That's one akuda I wanted to correct, and this is, this is not random things. This is all one topic. The second thing was last night. Last night, again, my time is limited. I feel pressure often when I speak, and I don't get to speak out the extent of my thoughts. So last night also, I went off into a shtickle tangent, and somebody could have come out thinking that, I even felt a little guilty, because last night there was a guy who was nervous with the guitar. Maybe a couple guys were nervous with the guitar. And I kind of, when we spoke in the shmooze, I kind of gave the impression, like, be spiritual. Person has to be spiritual and emotional and not so like brain on legs and like I'm gonna do a mitzvah and go to Umabo. And I felt a little guilty when we saw that a person should chas v'shalom think that I'm condoning, like we're allowed to violate halacha because it's like kirav, not kirav kulas, but kirav averos. No way. Kirav averos are not permitted. Can you do an avera for kirav? No. No, you could do a lot of averos for pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, it's a mitzvah to do averos. Hashem loves averos if it's pikuach nefesh. Again, to a certain big three, you gotta. There's boundaries with everything, but when it comes to pikuach nefesh, there's a big mitzvah to do averos. Hashem loves averos. What's pikuach nefesh? Don't kid yourself. Pikuach nefesh is real pikuach nefesh. To inspire people to do mitzvahs, I don't think anybody thinks that's pikuach nefesh. So great. So I was nervous that people might have gotten the impression I was chas v'shalom saying, you know, be spiritual, this and broad and open-minded, and then no. Let's bring it back a little bit. I was talking in learning. You know, sometimes I'm hesitant to speak about learning because every shmooze in yeshiva becomes about learning and davening. It makes me cringe. Every shmooze is about learning and davening. Learning, your learning is good, your davening is good. Learning is good, that's like every shmooze again and again. Like, okay, let's make new topics already. So I avoided those topics. But you want to get religious on me? Let's get religious. In learning, let's talk about learning. In learning, I said to Andrew, I'll say it publicly. I said to Andrew, where's Andrew? Andrew's here. I said to Andrew that he's lucky I didn't see him last night, because if I would have seen him, it would have dawned on my mind to say the following. If you told me somebody in this base medrash asked a kasha, I would be able to tell you if it was Andrew's kasha. He's extremely, I give him, I'm Amish, a big admirer of his. He's extremely unique in his creativity. He doesn't ask generic questions. Is that a Milo or a Chisaron? So you could say, oh, it's a big Chisaron. He's a very, very strange guy, very weird guy. Strange is Gematria, Kulo Milo. Kulo Milo. It's a tremendous Milo. Every question, yeah, the other day, a couple days ago, I think, he asked me a question. At first glance, my first thought was like, we're honest with each other, we're friends. I said, Andrew, that's a real dumb question. That's a real dumb question. And then every time I thought about it was in front of his face. I thought about the question. Every time I thought about it, the question became, oh, it's not so dumb. Oh, that's actually not a bad question. You know, that's a smart question. That's a brilliant question. Until I got to the point, I said, I have no idea what the answer to that unbelievable question is. I told him, go speak to Erfeld. I'm not going. I want to see what Erfeld says. I don't want to get involved. I don't want it to be a conversation with me and Erfeld. Go speak to him and then come back to me. And then they came back to me together, and Erfeld says, that was a brilliant question. I wouldn't say it, because when you hear it, you'd be like, that's a dumb question. You have to chazer it a few times, and you realize, that was a brilliant, and if you told me somebody asked that question in the Beis Medrash, I knew it was Andrew. I had no suffering. I knew it was Andrew. That's an Andrew question. So forget, you know, I'm not talking just, you know, creativity and spirituality and being a spiritual person. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about learning also. In learning, you have to be creative. My one of my Rebbeim always used to tell me, if your creativity is on the mark, often you'll find friends along the way. You'll find that a Ritva, if you really read into his kasha, he was kind of including your creative idea into his kasha. You wouldn't see it if you didn't have that question. But now that you look at the Ritva again, when you're thinking straight means like creative and you're really thoughtful about things, you'll find friends along the way. If you're so creative that there's no mashmos in the Ritva and there's no Or Sameach about it and there's no Madani Antov, you know, you don't have to like all the options over here, then you have to question, maybe I made a mistake. Could be you made a mistake, you got to pull back, you got to rethink it. But if you're thinking good and creative and intelligent, you'll find friends along that way. You'll find friends on that road. But the problem is, like I said, the story yesterday from Revolvi, is that we our society, and it's really, I feel when we go to Rav Reisman, Mirtz Hashem, Hashem should give us a bracha, that we should be able to go to Weinberger this summer also. These moments that we get to spend with these tremendous people, for me, they become a major part of my experience in the summer. And I glean from them. I continue to eat from these experiences. So when he said yesterday, a very simple thing, for you, it was like nice hak to know. For me, it was a limud. He said when he was in Kailo, they didn't wear white shirts. For me, that's a limud. The limud is, not just in the pnimius, they were different. In the chitzonius, they were also different. And today in our society, the chitzonius were all the same. And in the pnimius also, we've become very similar. We've become all the same. So I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. Last night I was talking about broad in terms of all kinds of funny kinds of ways. I'm not trying to be funny over here. I'm even talking in every aspect of your life. The problem is every Jew grows up, and every Jew, again, I did it too. I call myself out. Every Jew, what are you going to study in college? Probably finance. When he gets there, he sees finance a little too broad and vague. I'll be an accounting major. And then where are you going to live? There's only two options, 5 towns in Teaneck. And then, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to learn? I'm going to do Daf Yomi. And then, like, it's all the same questions and all the same answers to the same questions. And no, nobody's original. Nobody's creative. And there's no license for creativity and originality. It's almost unspoken. Beneath the surface, there's this underlying, unwritten rule that Teaneck, 5 towns, and Daf Yomi, and accountant, and I don't know, with everything else that comes with that lifestyle, which is not too familiar with me, but you guys are probably much more familiar than I am, and I hope you understand what I'm trying to describe. And that's what I'm bemoaning, this this unfortunate and perhaps, if we're going to be a little bit dramatic, perhaps tragic circumstance that we exist in. This really unfortunate and perhaps tragic circumstance that we find ourselves in. And then, not to rehash, but to elaborate, to further elaborate, and then when we're learning the sugya, I said last night, I didn't really have time to prepare for the shmooze. I was just talking, you know, thoughts from what was going on in my mind. And today I made time, I came, I was here, nobody else was here. I came and I said, I have to prepare to speak tonight. And then somebody came to me and I promised him, I'll learn with him. And I said, I need a certain amount of time. And he left. And then I thank Hashem that I have value. I have, you know, people, I have friends. I thank Hashem, I have friends in this world. And I didn't have not 30 seconds this afternoon. And I say that with hodah. I'm so happy about that. And then I feel bad because the guy who I told him, come back to me in, you know, many minutes, he saw that I pushed it light in because I was with other guys too, and then I didn't get to prepare. So I had a minute when you guys were eating pizza, I ran away, and I had a minute. And I my mind is still in the sugi of Nadarim, and I found all I needed to find, exactly what I needed to find. And we're going to learn two lines. It happens to be from Rav Yeruchim, two lines. And he says the following two lines about Nadarim. He writes, Benoget Nadarim. He writes, it's shocking. He's just like I told you previously, he just points. And he says, it's shocking, it's mind-blowing that you have this sugi by Nadarim, that Yuchel Ha'odom Livro Dine Torah Kitorah Atzma. This falsehood, this lie, it's Gemara Makos, that says that the 613 mitzvos, that's not true. The 613 mitzvos, for a person who is not experiencing life. But there's a sugi of Nadarim, that Yuchol Ha'odom Livro Dine Torah Kitorah Atzma. Torah starts at 613. How many mitzvos are there? It depends on how much you're experiencing life. And you determine, after the baseline 613, what now do you want to create as Dine Torah Atzma, no different. Basar Bechalov and your Nedarim have no difference in the world of Shemayim. All the mitzvahs, tzitzis and tefillin, when you're Mekabel Neder, there's no difference. And you can make a 614th and a 618th and a 827th. You, a person, has the ability to create real Torah. Kitorah Atzma. Okay, it feels like maybe in a Ben Torah, yeshiva kind of environment, we've heard this Chidushei Torah equal everything that Rashi said became Torah, Tosu said became Torah, what you write becomes Torah. And then he writes one more line. Why is this true? Mipnei shesod haTorah. Because the secret of Torah, the basis of Torah, he gamken chelek haAdam. The person has within him the Torah. Now, this sounds like, as a slogan, it could sound like a very nice idea about what a Jew is. A Jew, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, Araisa, Chatu, we all originate from the same place. And a Jew is Gamkin Chelek, Torah is Gamkin Chelek Ha'odah. That's not what it means. It means a lot more than that. It bothers me deeply. I've spoken about this before. And I want to rehash the gospel, the summer gospel that I like to preach. When a person is incapable of saying Torah without a Marah Makom, he feels it's beneath him, or he feels it's wrong, or he feels it's not precise to say Torah without a Marah Makom. Why is the klaf in the Aron, why does that have more substance than the klaf right here? If you could find that this klaf is genuine, I'm not saying to make up Chas V'Shalom, to come up with radical, strange, new ideas. But the ideas that exist here, there's a klaf here also. And the famous kasha, people ask, how can we stand up for a sefer Torah, we don't stand up for a Gemara? That's an Andrew question. Why? Because it's a stupid question. And the more you think about it, it becomes brilliant. Why? Sefer Torah, Gemara, as I'm saying. Gemara, what's the Teretz? The Teretz is, he's right. He didn't ask. But if he would ask, he's right. Of course he stand up for a Gemara. But where's the Gemara? You guys misunderstood. They lied to you. I can't find one over here. But this is not a Gemara. Somebody told you this is a Gemara, wherever it might be. Thank you. Somebody told you this is Gemara? Great to see you. The guys I know, really great to see you. The guys I don't know, I look forward to getting to know you. Great to see the chevra. We're doing a like a show and tell tonight. We have a show and tell exhibit. Everybody thinks this is a Gemara. It's a big mistake. This is not a Gemara. They're gonna look. I don't know, it looks to me like a Gemara. Open it up, double check. I don't know, what do you think? This is not a Gemara. This is a Gemara. When a Talmud Chacham walks in, by all of us, when one of you guys, when you're a learned person, when the Gemara is here, that's the klaf. Torah Shebaal Peh is your klaf. So of course we don't stand up for this. This is a book. This is not a Gemara. Why would you stand up for a book? It's a very nice, very important book. Extremely important book. You think this is Torah Shebaal Peh? This is like small snippets of Torah Shebaal Peh. You want to know where Torah Shebaal Peh exists? That's why Jonah came in the room. You know, the Torah Bowl champion of Shana Aleph. You should have seen the Torah Bowl champion of Shana Bet at a carnival. Whoa, you know? Whoa, I don't know. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. This is not Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is written on klaf. Where's the klaf? Right here. Of course you stand up for Torah Shebaal Peh. But you got it all wrong. This is not Torah Shebaal Peh. But Torah Shebaal Peh, when you learn Daf Yomi, it's a big mistake because you're reading words. These words are not Torah Shebaal Peh. These words are the platform, are the beginnings of Torah Shebaal Peh. But where really does Torah Shebaal Peh exist? Only here. If this person, if this neshama is not creating, that's why you heard, you know, you went to Rav Shrier's Nefesh HaChaim Chabura, and he told you Chidushei Torah, most valuable things. When a Jew says a Chiddush, Hashem kisses it, puts it on his crown, and you think like, oh, amazing, Chidushei Torah. My nusach is very different. My nusach is, no, that's not Chidushei Torah, fancy, icing on the cake, cherry on top. No. That's Torah. That's Torah. That's your Torah. That's what Hashem's waiting for. Chidushi Torah, like, oh, special, extra credit, I came up with a new idea. No, not extra credit. That's what you're here to do, to find yourself. Find yourself in every area. Again, I'm just responding to the, you know, to the fafrumta guys who were going to give me a funny look when I walk out in a flowy skirt to the lake. You're going to be like, oh, you know, he has with the dreads that he can't grow, he's walking out with dreads in a flowy skirt. You know, like, oh, he now he's a funny guy. He's saying funny Torah. What funny Torah? This is what the Nefesh HaChaim was talking about. Nefesh HaChaim was talking about, Hashem is begging and pleading. Hashem had to like, apologize in the deepest apology. He told Klal Yisrael, I'm letting you write down Torah Shebaal Peh. This is the worst thing we're doing. He said, guys, this is a terrible idea. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, you're trying to convince me this is okay? It's not okay. It's the worst idea you got. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, they had a big conversation. He told Hashem, but we're going to forget the baseline. If you don't have the baseline, then you have nothing to develop. So it was a big machlokas. Hashem said, terrible idea. And then Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said, we need it. And Ace Lasso Shla Hashem, the Gemara Darshan's a pasuk. Hashem gave a heter. Writing down Torah Shebaal Peh is tragic. It's tragic because lest people make a mistake and start to think that this is Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's the tragic world we've come to live in. That this has become Torah Shebaal Peh. And we've removed from the person not just the ability, but also the encouragement. Be creative. The goal is to be creative. The reason we get excited about the Manishtana, again, we also feed the kid the words. But in a theoretical world, the goal is that a kid should stand up and say, in the middle of Pesach Seder, the most holy night of the year, where everything, all the heavens come down, the holiest night of the year. Also, Yom Kippur is the holiest night of the year when it's Yom Kippur Torah. And also Purim is the holiest night of the year when it's Purim Torah. But now we're talking Pesach Torah. So the holiest night of the year, I love when people say the holiest night of the year, but the holiest night of the year is for sure Pesach, when we're talking Pesach Torah. And on the holiest night of the year, this little picture of a kid, a nobody, he stands up and Tatuch vel fregen the firakashas. It's like, who are you? I'm running the show over here. I got business to do. I have a mitzvah, if you got it to Labincha, I'm in control. You know, I waited my whole life to be the guy at the head of the table. They bring me the water. I get to wash my hands, like fancy pillow. Everybody else, you know, serving me, geschmack over here, doing, everybody else is doing hesabel, like figuring out how to maneuver. I got like a lazy boy. I waited my whole life for this. Little pitcher stands up, Tatach, Vil Fregen, sit down, buddy. This is my time. Why do we get excited about that? Oh, now he's Jewish. Now he became a Jewish kid. When he says, I want to ask four kashas, I got four kashas. I don't understand what's going on. And you think, and Tata, if you read the Agada well, you'll notice that this, the kashas are so good, Tata never answers the kashas, no answers. Why on this night do we dip? Tata's like, limit. You know, Avodim Ayinu. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going back to my business over here. I got a text. I'm going to stick to my text. Stick to my text. And the kid's like, Tata, let's talk. I got kashas. Let's talk over here. And Tata's like, no, we got to stick to the script. And that's what we became. People who just want to stick to the script. And this was the tragic circumstance that we found ourselves in. I always say in yeshiva, a lot of times, you want to learn Tosfos? It's impossible to learn Tosfos from this book. Impossible. You will never understand Tosfos if you attempt to learn it from this book. If you read the words, and you get it, and you know it, and you have it, take a walk. Take a walk. Take a walk and go through Tosfos. You will experience, you will see the understanding and depth of Tosfos. After you took a walk with Tosfos, Ein Lahashvos, Ein Odomen, has no similarities to reading Tosfos from a book. It doesn't work from a book. Why? Because this is not where Torah Shabbat Peh lives. It works when it's cooking over here. Tosfos has to develop over here. So if you're looking in the book and you're trying to read, again, I understand guys are on different levels and you know, the first stage is translating the words and I understand that. But slowly but surely, you get a little past that. You could translate the words and you got Tosfos, you know what he's saying? Now take a walk with Tosfos. The development in your mind of that Tosfos will be significantly, exponentially greater than what it was by just looking at a book. And so too, the person has a Musar Seder, Musar Chaburas. So you learn Shari Tshuva, Misal Sesharim, you know, more recent Sefer. And you learn concepts and Ben Odom Mechavero and different beautiful concepts. It doesn't work. It doesn't work till you take it for a walk. You got to take the Misal Sesharim for a walk. If you sit and you look at Misal Sesharim, so you become like, you could say now, if you say a Shmuz, if you say a Dvar Torah on Shabbos, you could say, you could quote a line from Misal Sesharim. You know it very well. But to really incorporate Misal Sesharim into your existence, you got to take a walk with it. You got to have it in your mind and take a walk with it. Opens you up. It opens you up in a dramatic way, in an incredible way. It's with everything. It's with sugyas. It's with Musar. And that's why, you know, tonight's not over the over. Tonight's just one over Lasiyasin. We're going to the lake 11 minutes ago. So when we go to the mate, when we go to the lake, this is my hakdama. My hakdama is that if I would tell you, if I would sit here and tell you, I want you to like think about your life. Think about what's going on. Think about even, you know, we'll take a hiatus on the goal of the summer. Even think about your challenges. One night, we'll give a heter for it. Think about a few of your challenges. Think about what's going on by you. Think about yourself. So your reaction, if you were raised in this society, not Morasha. Morasha is clean. When I say this society of you know, the communities where we originate from. So you would think, oh, he's talking like therapy Torah. It's like this new age rabbis love trying to pretend that they're psychologists kind of world. So now, oh, Ben fell into that. Now he decided he's also a psychologist. Please don't curse me. Please don't curse me. Please don't insult me like that. Psychology is amazing. Everybody should go to therapy. Everybody should enjoy therapy. Everybody should grow from therapy. It's amazing. But therapy is not Torah. And I'm not saying therapy. I'm not combining the two things. I'm telling you Torah. And Torah means that you need to think about your world and open your world with Tosfos, with Musar, and have it this. If you go to Boy Scout camp, Stoma, or you know, our guests can share with us. They go to similar to Boy Scout camp. If you go to a camp that has less sports and more hikes, so you guys can teach us. You know, they take flint and steel, and they make a fire. Yesh me'ayin. You give us twigs and flint and steel. You know, I don't know. Max will put the twigs in the freezer. We won't know. We won't figure out what to do with it. But you give the chevra who knows how to live in the wild, you give him flint and steel, a couple twigs, and you guys can really make a fire. It's an amazing thing. That's a beautiful skill. It's an incredible skill to have, to learn how to make a fire. And when we, you know, people who live by the script, if you purely live by the script, okay, give me instructions. I need instructions. How do you do it? What time should I do it? It's too much a script. And then a person who's more free, more open, he could say, I'm going to try to create a fire. And it's not just, like I said, therapy. I said to one guy this afternoon, and again, you understand what I mean by this. I said, by a lot of Jews, we became like a separation of church and state. The church is you go to Minyan, you learn, Kibbutz Av Ha'Em, also throw in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. There's a church, there's a whole church. And then there's like my other life. What I like to say, post-Mariv. Post-Mariv, oh, I smoke a cigar, I'm done. Like no more chiyuvim. Once Mariv's over, chafshi min ha-mitzvos, liberation, every night. That's why no guy wants to go to sleep. Because once you got to that point, like, oh, I want to enjoy this. Like I'm done, I learned, v'hikisavo yomam v'layla, shachris mincha Mariv. I called my mom, I did my Kibbutz Av Ha'Em, I kissed my tzitzis goodnight, Laila loves man, and now, liberation day. So you stay up as late as you can to enjoy the life. And we have separation of church and state. We have that in our world. And so when I talk about these in Yanim, it's like, oh, he's talking therapy, getting to know myself. That's a new age stuff. Yeah, because you have separation of church and state. Because in your church, you have typical, it became Christianity. Mamish Christianity. In your church, you have the religious observances and rituals. And then in your state, you have stuff in my personal, private life. Lagamrei Machitza. You're very from, a very big Machitza. And welcome to Morasha Yiddishkeit. Summer Yiddishkeit, Camp Yiddishkeit. Camp Yiddishkeit is our old real Yiddishkeit. You come to a camp where things are open, no pressure, yishmak, be yourself, and you realize that there's one church of Judaism. It incorporates all parts, every part of you. You need to open yourself up in Tosfos and open Tosfos up with you. You need to open yourself up with Musar and open up the Mesillas of Sharm with you. And you need to open up your life. You need to understand your life. And this takes, forgive my demand or expectation or push, I'm not sure what's happening, but great to have the chevra. Great to have the chevra. Tell a yeshiva bacher, morning seder is going to be 3 hours. A serious, capable yeshiva bacher. Morning seder is going to be 3 hours. You know, this morning I warned you. You're going to dive in too early. We're going to have a 5-hour morning seder. And Hashem sent us siyata d'shmaya. We had Shmuel in the morning. And then we had DJ in the late morning. Hashem said, I don't know if they could handle a 5-hour morning seder. I'm gonna slim it down. So Hashem gave us mamish nisim gluyim. DJ wasn't supposed, DJ sent me a text early this morning, he can't do it today, and Shmuel was pushed from Shemayim, Eliyahu Anavi, landed over here. An ace. But tell a serious yeshiva guy, morning seder is going to be 5 hours. 5 hours. Too much. 3 hours. Okay, 3 hours we could do. You know, you graduate Shana Bet, you had a little bit longer shiur, but you get to YU, 3 hours seder. 9 to 12, YP, 3 hours seder. And shiur, hour and a half. At 4.5, it's long. It's long, it's a lot. Serious, capable yeshiva bacher, 3 hours, I could do it. I'm excited for it. I want to do it. Tell him 3 hours, once a week, not every day, once a week, 3 hours. Contemplate your life. I don't know what to do. You tell me to go to therapy? No, I don't need therapy. No, I didn't say therapy. I said contemplate your life. 3 hours, once a week. I don't know what to do. What's the instruction? What's the script? Give me the Haggadah. Where's the Haggadah for this? You know, where's the machzer for Yom Ha'atzmaut? I need exactly, you know, do we say L'chadodi? We don't say L'chadodi. What do we do? Well, I don't know what to do right now. Give me the script. I need exactly the script to do. And that's what, again, forgive me for the tangent, but if I'm talking already, that's why that machzer bothers me. Some people think, Chas v'Shalom, that any Rebbe, say about any Rebbe, you lost your mind. That some people would say about a Rebbe or some Rebbe, he's not, he doesn't love Eretz Yisrael. But then he disagrees, Bereishis Bara Elokim v'Shamayim v'Haaretz. Bereishis Bara Elokim v'Shamayim v'Haaretz means that Hashem wants you to go to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, he disagrees with the first pasuk of the Torah. So first of all, wake up, stop talking such stupid slander about anybody. Mamish, don't say it about Satmar. Don't say it about Satmar, that they don't love Eretz Yisrael. It's just, it's ignorant and immature slander. It's not worth the Avera. There's Averas that are a lot more fun than that Avera. Don't waste your onesh on that Avera to slander people that they're against Eretz Yisrael. And then they say, oh, how come he doesn't daven out of the machzer, the Yom Ha'atzmaut machzer? It's like, bro, do me a favor. I don't know what this machzer business is. You want Hodah? That's between me and him. You want me to be excited about this? That's between me and him. I'm not going to stand here, blow a shofar, and dance l'chadodi so that you could send videos and show that I'm a Zionist institution. This is your world? I'll lead it by you. And we live in this world that everything became commercialized. And everything, kol kulo of ruchnius, became fully commercialized. And we have tainas on people because they don't market well. And so one night, we're going to go to the lake. Not one night. We'll do it at least twice. We're going to go to the lake. And we have to take a picture because what am I going to do? It's a commercialized religion. That's what we do. But before it starts, I need it for the wall. The walls are bare. I need more Asha pictures over here. We'll take a picture in the beginning. And then singing, nobody will know about. Even on Shabbos when we sing, maybe you knew, maybe somebody thought, oh, they'll hear about it. Rav Isaacson sent me a text today that I heard your mom is knocking over here. I heard from the guys, things are unbelievable over there. And even on Shabbos, things that happen, they go out, people hear. So it's not videoed, it's not recorded, but things go out. So one night we go singing. Singing between who? In your world. Just in your world. You're not doing it to get the kids into it. You're not doing it because you're here to make hype. You're not doing it to. You're just trying to open your world. And then, if I said 3 hours, everybody would leave the koel. So I'm not going to say 3 hours. I'll say 30 minutes. 30 minutes, once a year. Once a year, 30 minutes. Not daven. I know what you're going to do. You're going to be, where's the script? I'm going to say Tehillim now. Come on. Why? I want to daven so badly for Chayalim, and all you want to do is Shir HaMalos. Think of your own words already. Think of your own words. Think of your own creative way to talk to Hashem about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Since you're so stuck in that society of everything has a script, it's right away, what do we do? Shir HaMalos. I'm nothing against Shir HaMalos. But a little bit you can also contribute. A little bit you can also be part of this religion. A little bit also, Hashem wants your input. It can't everything run to... That's why, I'm not saying it's bad, but it's terrible. It's not bad to have the song sheets. Song sheets are not bad. People don't know the words. But it's terrible. But it's not bad because you need to learn the words, but it's terrible. You know, how does a guy sing, you know, Uvenay, Uvenay, Osa, Vic? Like, that's, what are we doing already? What are we doing? So to go 30 minutes, spend a few minutes over there and sit there and not daven. We'll go a different time to daven. You want to daven, we'll go a different time. Don't daven. Because that's davening is again, you're falling into the same trap. You're just desperate to find some kind of script. Not daven. Think about your world. This is a very vague instruction. I know we're going to walk. It's a long walk. We're going to walk 20 minutes. And on the walk, I know people are going, is this a good idea to think about? Or is this a... Oh, no, don't do this to me. Don't do this to yourselves. Do it wrong. I encourage you to... Whatever we're going to do now, do it wrong. That's great. Do it wrong. Keep doing it wrong. And one day we might discover, like I said to Andrew, the worst way to do it, the worst way to ask a kasha, the dumbest kasha I ever heard, became the most brilliant kasha. Because what does it mean, wrong? Wrong means different, unexpected, and atypical. Oh, that's you. Oh, you're different. You're unconventional. Oh, that's not wrong. That's the most right thing you could ever find. And if I were to tell you that's wrong, that means I'm telling you how to live your life. That would be a tragedy. That's what society has become. That everybody decided how you live your life. You know how fortunate it is that when you walk through camp, I imagine it's in all camps, you could confirm or deny. But for the most part, 90, 95%, we could point exactly, not only who's post Shana Aleph, who's still in high school, who's post Shana Bet, who's a year younger, and Ad Kidei, who went to which yeshivas? You realize how brainwashed you are? That the yeshiva you went to, the stage of life that you're in, you wear it because you're told to look a certain way. You realize you lost all your personal humanity, all the creativity that you were instilled with, it's all gone because now you have to dress like this at every stage of your life. And if you went to this yeshiva, you talk like this and you act like this, and you walk around like that. And to you, it's like, oh, I'm a proud, it's my alma mater. I'm a proud graduate. Of what? Of what? Of giving up on yourself. Just conforming. Everything just conforming. We're all going to wear white, and you make fun. All the yeshiva shechever all wear white shirts. I want to tell you a secret. When the yeshiva shechever sees you, you all look the same. You all look exactly the same. And you look at them, and you look at them, they all look exactly the same. And you're both right. Elu ve'elu, they're both right. They look the same, and you look the same. No, we look different. Blue, red, come on. I know how you're going to dress after Shana Aleph. I know how you're going to dress after Shana Bet. I know how you're going to dress if you go to Binghamton versus if you go to YU. I know how you're going to dress if you go to this camp or another camp. I know how you're going to dress if you went to this yeshiva or another yeshiva. I know exactly how you learn based on which shiur you're going to go to in YU, because you go to that yeshiva, you have to end up in that shiur, conform exactly. Hagesher tsar me'od, me'od, me'od. So enjoy that narrow bridge, and I'm encouraging the rest of us, jump off that bridge. I'm telling you, there's nothing worse. I don't care how far that fall is. I don't care the risk we're taking. There's no bungee rope over here. I don't care, but because the risk of staying on that bridge, oh, that's misa mamish. Misa mamish. Everything that you are, you've eliminated. You lost your capacity. I just want to end one thing. The guy I spoke about last night, well, I'm not allowed to say his name, the lawyer from Guilford, he discovered the original lake. He went on an expedition one night, and him and a few chevra, if you know, Knack and Dovey Fuchs, I forgot who else was on that original expedition, it was four or five chevra, and they went on this expedition, they discovered this lake, we'll go, next time we do it, we'll go to the legendary lake, and they discovered this place, and it's not by coincidence that what I said about this guy last night, this guy is an original creative soul, and he's not afraid of society to be himself. Internally, externally, doesn't make a difference. And he started this minhag. This minhag is not from day one. This minhag we started maybe the third year. But once we incorporated this minhag into the kollel experience, into what we do in the summer, I learned that this is one of the most impactful opportunities you have. You sit in, most of you, Mevaseret the whole year. Mevaseret has the most gorgeous lookouts to stand and to contemplate. But again, if I told you 3-hour morning Seder, let's go. If I told you 3-hour contemplation Seder, I don't need therapy. I'm not going, they're not sending me to Arizona to some therapeutic experience for like $80,000 for 2 weeks. I'm good. I'm not saying you're not good. It's not about being good. You're great. But you got to grow into yourself. And to grow into yourself, you have to understand and experience yourself and live with yourself and be with yourself and to look into yourself and to introspect. It's a great time. It's an amazing time. So Mirtz Hashem, we're going to do shtickle, you know, March. Again, big schuss, chevra who came, you know, just to hang out. And if you join us, even better. And this is a new place for me. So we'll get there, you know, take a picture just to get the, you know, get that past us. And then we'll sing. We're just going to sing. No talking. We're going to sing a little bit. We'll sing together. And then after we sing, I'm going to say over there, but I'm going to set it up now. Everybody just go. Just go. Just go. We'll make up some time, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You just go. Find a quiet place. And just go. And don't daven. Don't daven. If you struggle, at least develop in your mind what you need to daven for. Why you need to daven. That's the best, most specific instruction I would even share. And just consider your life. Understand your world. Start to understand your world. And after 20, 25 minutes, we'll come back together. We'll sing a little more. And if a guy, I would encourage, if a guy's comfortable, to share a thought he had. It's not personal. To share a thought that came to mind. Nobody has to. So if somebody wants to share at the end, everybody's encouraged to share. And if not, we'll sing a few more songs. And then we'll come back. It'll be a great time. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the beginning. Shkayach.